As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together as a family of the Lord's people, I want to call to your attention the one verse from the Gospel of John that is printed in your program this morning. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Protestant Christians, that is Christians that have been in our tradition in the Protestant church for the last 500 years or so, have always used a very special phrase to describe what we mean when we say Jesus is present in the breaking of the bread, that Jesus is present in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. That phrase is called the real presence. And it's something of a technical phrase, but it's a very rich and wonderful phrase that I want to take just a few moments and explain to you, if I may. The phrase means that Jesus is really present. That he is really present, yes, in a particular, special, and we might even say unique way, in the breaking of the bread. He's present in the Lord's Supper in a way that he is not present at other times. How can I explain this to you? In your home, you've got a family album, and in that family album, you've got lots of photographs from different eras and different aspects of your family's life. Well, you know, sometimes when I'm going on a trip, Barbara will go to the family album and she'll pull out three or four pictures and she'll give them to me, and because I always want to take pictures of the family whenever I go somewhere, just in case I get a chance to show them off. Well, I'm going to do that this morning. For just a few moments, I'm going to open the family album, and I'm going to give you three snapshots of what it means to understand the real presence of Jesus Christ in our midst this morning, right now, as we come to the Lord's table. Three pictures. These are not the only pictures in the family album, by any means. There's many more pictures, but we'll save some of those for another time. Just three. The first one's a TV. The Lord's Supper is a televising of the gospel. The Lord's Supper is a representation, a visible representation of the truth that lies behind the wonder of the grace of God that's given to us, represented in these communion elements. It's a picture of the Lord's body broken for us, a picture of his blood poured out for us. In and of itself, the bread and the cup are not the real thing. They are a sign. The invisible grace of the gospel made visible in these tangible, touchable elements. They're a representation, like a picture on a TV screen. You never mistake the picture on the TV screen for the real thing. You know there's a difference between the real person and the person you're seeing, and yet, when you look at that representation, it's utterly clear to you what it represents. It represents a specific person or a specific event or circumstance, and you recognize it as such, even though it's not precisely the real thing before you. But there's more. If I turned on my television set and I watched Juan Gonzalez hit a three-run homer in the ninth inning to win the game, and if I was really a fan of baseball, it would be a real thrill to see Juan come back from his injury and hit that ball and hit it so well and win the game. But it wouldn't be as good as being there, would it? In a real sense, you see, the Lord's Supper is not only a representation, it is also a participation. So if I went out to the ballpark in Arlington, and I had a really good seat right behind home plate, and I got to see the magnificence of what it was as Juan Gonzalez, returning from the pulled hamstring, gets up to the plate, and in the ninth inning, wins the game with a three-run homer. That would be so much more thrilling being there and participating than just having the visual representation of it on my TV screen, right? The Lord's Supper is not only a representation, it's also a participation. And here I push the envelope for a little bit for some of you who, for some of you, this way of speaking is going to get a little bit different than you are used to. But it is the historic Protestant and Reformed way of describing the Lord's Supper. So in the second place, we describe it not only as a TV, but the second snapshot I want to hold up and wave at you is a seal. I went to a graduation last night at Cistercian Preparatory School. It was a wonderful event. I mean, it was a great time. Very dear friend of mine was graduating, and it was a thrill to be there and see him receive his diploma. But you know what? If he opened his diploma and it didn't have a seal on it, he needs to go to the authorities at Cistercian Preparatory School and say, there's something wrong with my diploma. It's inadequate. Because you see, the seal is necessary in order to authenticate the diploma. And that's what a seal does. It authenticates something. It makes it real. It's the stamp of authenticity. So what the Lord's Supper does when we call it a seal is that it authenticates the reality of the grace that God gives us in the gospel. The seal of the Lord's Supper is as if the Lord is sealing to your heart as you take these elements in the midst of his presence, the wonder and the truth of the grace of the gospel. And that's why it's so important that we always say, when you come to take the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, you shouldn't take it if you're not a Christian, because you're sealing the wrong thing to your heart. You're sealing something to your heart that doesn't happen just by eating the bread. It must happen through your heart by faith as you take the Lord Jesus by faith. And the seal of the Lord's Supper seals like the envelope seal containing the message of grace delivered right to you from the Lord himself. So the Lord's Supper authenticates Christ's saving work in our heart. And so more than just a symbol, the reality is actually joined to the sign. So that when we come to the Lord's Supper, we find there an application of Christ's work, afresh, the forgiveness of sins, freshly given to us. And we also see the seal of the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we might evermore die to sin and live to Christ's righteousness. In other words, the taking of the Holy Supper is it's an encouragement in the grace, by the grace, to live out of the grace of God in the rest of our living. Now, the supper is more. Not just a TV, not just a seal, as good as those things are. The third picture I want to hold in front of you is a meal. A meal. The Lord's Supper is a fellowship meal with the Lord himself. The Lord is the one who is the host of this supper. The Lord is the one who bids you come and take it. The Lord is the one who breaks the bread and gives it to you. The Lord is the one who takes the cup and offers it to you. As the signs and seals, as the representations and the actual authentications of his grace bestowed on you. It's a meal. Barbara's and my anniversary was this past week, and I took her out to dinner. Took her to a very lovely place for dinner. And we had a wonderful meal. And you know what? It was one of those magical evenings that all of us who are married couples need to have at least once every 20 years on your 20th anniversary. But it was one of those wonderful times when we just sat there for hours and we laughed about our lives together. We laughed about our memories. We remembered back to the early years. We reviewed our wedding, actually. We went through the whole wedding service again and talked about it, who was there and what happened. And we remembered. But in the remembering, in the meal shared, there was a kindling again of love. The Lord's meal given to us isn't just a meal of remembrance. It is. But in the remembering is the kindling, the reviving of love, the reviving of grace. I'm bold enough to tell you that in my office as a preacher of the Word of God, when I preach God's Word, you are hearing the message of Christ.
But when the Lord invites you to his table, you're not only hearing a message from the Lord. When the bread is broken in the upper room and Jesus takes it and says, take, eat, this is my body, the smell of that bread goes through the room. They take it in their hands and they put it to their mouths. As the cup is passed, the scent of the wine, like a fragrance, fills the room. No, when the Lord invites us to the meal, we not only hear a message, we see the Lord. We handle the Lord. We smell the Lord. We taste the Lord. And I do not shrink from saying that to you as a good Protestant, because Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body. He didn't qualify it a lot. He didn't answer all the mysteries, all the questions that we have about that sentence, this is my body. But he invites us to the meal. If on my TV screen, I'm watching Juan Gonzalez get up to hit, and he turns to the camera and he says, Skip Ryan, come out to the ballpark. I want you to see this. So I drive out to the ballpark just in time to get there for the ninth inning for the big hit, the two-run homer. And then after he runs the bases, he turns up to the stands in my good seat behind home plate, and he says, Skip Ryan, come down here. I want to have a hot dog with you after the game and tell you about that hit and about the game. The TV picture is good. The being there is even better. But best of all is the hot dog with Juan. Best of all is the fellowship meal with the Lord. Best of all is that the Lord doesn't just say this represents him. It doesn't just give us a picture of him. It doesn't even just, as good as that is, authenticate his work in our hearts as a seal. Even more, and most of all, this is his meal and his invitation. And he says to you, come in intimacy and joy and know me as the one with whom you sit down to eat. Know me as the one who gives you grace. Know me as the one who will go to die for you and who will rise for you and who sends the Holy Spirit to your heart on this Pentecost Sunday, and who is to you your very breath and life. Know Jesus in the breaking of the bread, for his presence is real. It isn't local in the sense that it's in the elements. No, far better than that. He's not just present locally. He's present really, really present in the breaking of the bread and in the taking of the cup.